And we want to stick with the markets here. We're going to bring in Michael Sheldon. He's the executive director and CIO of RDM Financial Group at Hightower. And Michael, thank you for joining us here today. You were just listening to Ines talk about some of the market moves of the day. A lot of focus on earnings and also the Fed this week. And I want to begin with the Fed. We saw some bond market volatility last week, but kind of tapered off a little bit. And speaking of taper, there might be an announcement of such. I think that expectation is pretty much built in for Wednesday. But what's your overview of the situation with the Fed right now?
Well, the Fed has done a good job telegraphing what their intentions are. Remember that the Fed started this incredible monetary policy back in the spring of last year when the economy was really in trouble. And fast forward several months, and the economy is obviously doing much better. Unemployment is under 5%. So I don't think we need the kind of emergency steps that the Federal Reserve put in place in early 2000 that we do today. As a result, I think at the meeting this week, the Federal Reserve is likely to announce the start of tapering. That means they're going to reduce the amount of bond buying that they purchase every month. And a couple of things. It's important the economy is on fairly sound footing. And also, even though the Fed's likely to reduce the amount of Fed purchases, they're still some time away from actually raising rates, which will most likely be in the latter part of next year or more likely in early 2023.
Well, then I want to shift gears back to earnings. What's on your radar right now? Where should investors be focusing, especially as we get commentary about the supply chain? And even if you're not invested in a particular stock or industry, we're getting a lot of meaningful information here.
Yeah, the earnings season has been certainly fast and furious. Last week, more than 50% of companies in the S&P 500 actually reported their earnings. And I think it's like another 15% of companies this week. What I'm hearing and reading the transcripts from various companies is a couple of things. One is people are worried about access to workers, and they're also worried about supply chain issues and inflation. Some number of companies have lowered earnings because of higher costs, and that cuts across a variety of industries. Some companies are having trouble getting access to things like aluminum and steel, or having to pay higher prices for many different things. But all in all, the earnings so far for this past quarter are once again coming in better than expectations. And that's been a trend we've seen over the past few quarters. At some point, the trend in companies beating earnings by the amount that they've been beating them will start to tail off. So for this year, I think the earnings estimates are that the S&P 500 growth will be about 45%. But as we get into next year, we're likely to see more moderate growth of probably 8 to 10% or so. So investors may have to think about more moderate returns in the new year. But so far, at least, this quarter's earnings have been pretty good.
And can you speak as to any specific sectors, industries, styles that you're liking right now? We've seen a resurgence of the value trade since last November after the election, something that we really hadn't seen in the years prior. So what sectors and industries do you like right now?
Well, one of the challenges for investors this year is there's been sort of a constant rotation between growth and value. So under the surface, it seems like almost every week there's been value's been in favor, growth has been in favor, cyclicals are in favor, defensives are in favor. So there's been a sort of cross currents across the board throughout much of this year. As of this morning, value is just slightly above growth for the full year so far. So both have actually participated. But I think going forward for investors, I think you want to have some balance, maybe a barbell between growth and value. You want to have some diversification. Over the past decade or so is really, really more about growth and tech. You want to have some tech in your portfolio because you need some growth to meet your long-term investment objectives. But I think having more balance is probably going to be a little more key going forward.
And you mentioned inflationary pressures before. I just want to kind of dig into that a little bit. It looks like things aren't as transitory as they seem. Maybe that word disappearing from the lexicon for a while. But we are seeing elevated inflation readings on both the PCE and CPI and other measures, basically at three-decade highs. How long does this persist, and is there a breaking point?
Yeah, that's kind of the million-dollar question. I think if the Fed had to take that transitory word back, they might. I think as you get into the end of this year and next year, it certainly seems like inflation trends are going to be running hotter than they have been. Remember, over the past decade or so, the Fed's had trouble trying to generate 2% inflation based on their favorite core PCE indicator. But now we certainly have kind of the highest level of inflation we've had in 10 to 20 years, 30 years, depending on the indicator. So our thinking is that while certainly things are above average here, as we get into next year, we'll probably see some moderation in these inflation trends. You'll see more workers coming back into the workforce. I think this Friday's jobs numbers should be pretty solid. I think also some of the tankers off the coast of California will start to unload. We see further pickup in manufacturing over the next several months. So we see some moderation in inflation next year. If we don't see the moderation in inflation, that could spell some volatility for the markets, because typically the markets perform better when inflation is sort of in the 2 to 4% range. But once we get above that level, that could lead to a contraction in PE levels and possible volatility in the market. But that's something to watch for at some point next year.
Well, we got time for one more question here. I want to stick with volatility. You mentioned before there was kind of a rotation under the hood. You see growth surge one day, value take a backseat, and then it's the opposite the next day. All of that kind of works to suppress volatility in the VIX because you don't have everything going up or down at the same time. But I'm wondering what some of the headwinds are to the market that could kind of disrupt this low volatility regime that we've been maybe accustomed to for a few months here.
Well, leading into the fall, one of the big worries was that the government was going to raise taxes dramatically. It sort of seems that, I mean, news out of Washington changes by the day, if not by the hour. So we probably will see somewhat higher taxes, but it doesn't look like, it seems like the worst of the big increases are probably unlikely to happen. So that seems like less of a worry, even though it's a concern. I think inflation and the bottlenecks we've seen in the economy are probably the biggest factors. I think the Fed has done a good job telegraphing its intentions. Anything that could cause the Fed to sort of move up the timetable of increasing rates or tightening policy would be a problem. We watch financial conditions pretty closely, and some of those, credit spreads, for example, weekly jobless claims, the Fed's senior loan survey, all of those look pretty healthy right now, but those will be some of the things we'll be watching in the months ahead.
Good to keep tabs on all those things. We'll have you back to talk about them as the situation develops. Michael Sheldon, Executive Director and CIO at RDM Financial Group at Hightower.